It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
The all-out siege of planet Earth continues unabated. The biosphere is systematically imploding. Mass global extinction and the imminent collapse of civilization is unfolding. Even now, power structures are completely preoccupied with producing more, newer, and bigger weapons of mass destruction. Even now, populations are all too willing to support the completely out-of-control empires that masquerade as democracies. Even now, the gravity and the immediacy of what we collectively face is not even remotely understood or comprehended by the vast majority, which includes the so-called, quote, experts, who have been programmed to falsely believe technology will always somehow magically save the day. Such a notion is simply unbridled arrogance and self-imposed delusion. How much longer do we have in the U.S. until the market shelves empty out and panic is unleashed? How much longer until the power structure makes major moves of total desperation because they can no longer mask the totality and immediacy of what's unfolding? And even when the gathering storm hits with its full fury, will the masses at that point, most especially in affluent first world nations, face and accept the fate which their collective complacency and unbridled consumption has helped to facilitate? If those same masses summon the courage and fortitude to face reality now, at this moment, would we have any chance of salvaging some part of Earth's life support systems? Consider this definition, which I have covered in the past but needs to be covered again. Normalcy bias. The normalcy bias, or normality bias, is a belief people hold when facing disaster. It causes people to underestimate both the likelihood of the disaster and its possible effects, because people believe that things will always function the way things normally have functioned. This belief system may result in a situation where people fail to adequately prepare themselves for disasters, and on a larger scale, the failure of governments to include the populace in its disaster preparations. And for those who doubt that those at the top of the food chain, the power structure, for those who doubt that those individuals are not preparing, think again. Do some research. They are preparing as fast as they can for total collapse. This definition of normalcy bias continues. The majority of people display normalcy bias in disasters. Studies of response patterns of people in disasters found that there are three phases of response: denial, deliberation, and the decisive movement. The faster people get through the denial and deliberation phase, the quicker they will reach the decisive movement phase and begin to take action. That's the phase that we must reach soon, or we have no chance. The masses must be awakened and mobilized. Before I get to a few very quick announcements and the rest of the frontline dire-breaking headlines, consider this new report from the UK Guardian and other sources. Here's the headline. Collapse of civilization is a near certainty within decades. This is a brand new report to back up what we have said at geoengineeringwatch.org for how many years. Yes, reality is becoming all but impossible to hide. What are the two falsehoods with this report headline I just read? The coming collapse of civilization is not a near certainty, not a probability. It is an indisputable certainty and a mathematical inevitability. The other problem with the report of the headline I just read, collapse is not decades away. It's already unfolding. If you don't believe this, you will. Wait and see. The most important question is this. What will you do to help salvage what is yet left of the planet's life support systems? What will you do to help expose and halt the ongoing insanity? Are you willing to stand and make your voice heard? If not now, then when? This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for March 24th, 2018. This is a commercial-free program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 7, Sunday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network. Our new time slot there is Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Recordings of this broadcast can also be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest Geoengineering Watch awareness raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. One more announcement, then we'll get on to headlines, and there are plenty of them, I assure you. The walls are closing in very, very, very quickly. Eugene, Oregon, Jim Fair event started yesterday, ends tomorrow at the Lane County Events Center. If you're in that area, show up, show your support for the effort to expose and halt climate engineering. There's a geoengineeringwatch.org awareness booth there. Jim Fair, a staunch ally of the fight to expose and halt geoengineering. Search the Jim Fair site for more details. Again, today and tomorrow still, Eugene, Oregon, Lane County Event Center. Next week, Salt Lake City, Utah at the Mountain America Exposition Center. You can find the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth manned with materials for free. The week after, April 6th through April 8th, Puyallup, Washington, Washington State Fair Events Center. The Jim Fair booth will be there. For those people who are doing their best to sound the alarm and help salvage what is yet left of the planet's life support systems, and the first leap in that direction is to expose and halt the climate engineering insanity. Moving on to the world of electrosmog, few people really understand the severity of this situation. How dangerous are the rapidly increasing levels of radio frequency microwave transmissions we are all immersed in? It's far, far worse than we're being told by any official source. And 5G, by the way, the new frequency is coming to a power pole near you. Are there any scientists speaking out about this grave threat? Yes. Welcome to EMFScientist.org. Remember that title? Look them up. Show your support. The International EMF Scientist Appeal serves as a credible and influential voice from EMF, that's electromagnetic field scientists, who are urgently calling upon the United Nations and its sub-organizations, World Health Organization, UNEP, and all UN member states for greater health protection on EMF exposure. We are electrical organisms. Life is electrical. And these frequencies are decimating the web of life in ways that we are not being told. And the EMF frequencies, by the way, major component with climate engineering, huge component, and much stronger frequencies even than the cell phone repeating. This is what many people fighting EMF do not know or realize. Climate engineering, atmospheric particulates manipulated with radio frequency microwave transmissions. We need to consider all of this in this battle. Since we all know that mainstream media is nothing more than a ministry of propaganda for the power structure, we're finally getting some news out of that arena from defections that are finally starting to happen. An important headline from last week, there's a stirring of morality within the circles of mainstream media, the propaganda machine that I just described. Here's the headline, an, quote, ashamed Fox News commentator just quit the, quote, propaganda machine. He stated this, over my decade with Fox, I long was proud of the association, Colonel Ralph Peters wrote in an email to colleagues. Now I'm ashamed. A retired United States Army lieutenant, colonel, and Fox News contributor quit Tuesday and denounced the network and President Donald Trump in an email to colleagues. He said this, quote, Fox has degenerated from providing a legitimate and much-needed outlet for conservative voices to a mere propaganda machine for a destructive and ethically ruinous administration, wrote Ralph Peters, a Fox News, quote, strategic analyst. He finished with this, over my decade with Fox, I was long proud of the association. Now I am ashamed, he wrote. Again, the mainstream media ministry of propaganda is now little more than a constant parade of lies. Fox, CNN, MSNBC all are part and parcel of the same cancer. But this should also be remembered. Just because mainstream media, this cancer I described, is unjustly attacking people like Mr. Trump, and I don't deny that some of those attacks are nothing but theater and not just, does that mean that Mr. Trump is anything more than his own version of the cancer? No less a criminal, no less a useful prop in the ongoing script that is still being written by the power structure. While Trump continues to carry out the agenda of the military-industrial complex, selling billions of dollars of weapons to despots like the Saudi government, he, Trump, is also used as a scapegoat of distraction by the mainstream media propaganda machine for the benefit of the power structure. Mass distraction, division, polarization. Mr. Trump has served that part very, very well. And for those who think because I am justly criticizing Mr. Trump, I have to say this every time because people don't hear it. Does that mean that I'm a fan of Hillary Clinton? Absolutely not. I can barely stand to look at Clinton. And why is not she in jail, as Mr. Trump promised he would carry out proceedings against her, which he did not do, because this is all part of grand theater. Same with Obama, the civilian killing drone king, winning the Nobel Peace Prize. What utter and total hypocrisy is that? Obama also should be in jail, as should the Bushes. Mr. Bush, number two, Jr., participating in the 9/11 atrocities, and anybody who looked at Mr. Bush when he was speaking in front of the school children looked like a deer in the headlights when he was told that the event which he knew was coming had just occurred and he couldn't even function. These atrocities are immense and ongoing, and we live in a population that has so far facilitated the insanity, and if that course continues, we're done. Moving on, here's another headline from Time Magazine and other sources last week. President Trump is officially proposing that we give drug traffickers the death penalty. Just follow me through with this report first and I'll explain its relevance. President Donald Trump announced a new plan on Monday to combat the opioid crisis that includes sentencing some drug traffickers to the death penalty when appropriate under current law. During an afternoon speech in New Hampshire in which he also placed some blame for the opioid crisis on immigrants, the president praised countries that, quote, don't play games on drugs and called for charges. We have to change the laws, he said. He called for changes, excuse me. We have to change the laws, meaning kill the drug pushers. Now, let's stop for a moment. How Orwellian and hypocritical can our reality and our so-called government become? We're living in an asylum. Are drug dealers bad? Of course. Should drug dealers be brought to justice? Absolutely. Who is the biggest drug dealer on the planet? The biggest opioid dealer on the planet? The U.S. medical industrial complex, thanks to the help of the U.S. government and the U.S. military. This is not speculation. It's a confirmed historical and mathematical statistical fact. Opium production in Afghanistan under U.S. control skyrocketed. And where do you think that opium is going? So if we're going to start holding drug pushers accountable, and indeed we should, let's start with our own government, our own military, and the medical industrial complex. Another headline. There's a late breaking headline from the latest Trump administration appointment, John Bolton, since we're on the subject of criminals. Here's a book I would recommend everybody look at and at least read the summary of. It's titled Empire's Workshop, Latin America, the United States, and the Rise of the New Imperialism. Why is this relevant to John Bolton? Because he was connected to the Central American death squads. John Bolton should also absolutely be in jail. John Bolton, from the summary of this book, Empire's Workshop, John Bolton was the former ambassador to the United Nations and an arch unilateralist. He served as Reagan's point man in the Justice Department, whose effort to stonewall investigations into the Iran-Contra crimes is well documented. John Bolton is a criminal. John Bolton should likely be in an insane asylum, and the blood on his hands is immense and well documented. And this is who Mr. Trump has appointed? Again, it's all part of the theater. Divide and conquer, and also the power structure is preparing for global conflict, their last option, which John Bolton would be all too happy to facilitate. That's who he is. Let me do a quick summary. What other lethal operations is the U.S. government and the current administration supporting? Proven dangerous vaccinations that contain undisputed neurotoxins like aluminum and mercury. And let's not forget that the pharmaceutical industry enjoys blanket legal immunity, total immunity from the misery and death they cause. Then there's the highly toxic, unimaginably destructive, and completely illegal global climate engineering operations. What about government liability for the destruction and death climate engineering may, or rather certainly does, create? Here's a direct quote from a nearly 800-page Senate document on national weather modification programs. You can find this document at geoengineeringwatch.org, by the way. Here's the quote. Statutes provide that the state is immune from liability, immune in regard to climate engineering operations, as well as vaccinations. There you have it. The U.S. government and the criminal corporations they represent are completely and totally immune from any repercussion, from any prosecution. They're above the law. What does the power structure controlled mainstream media weapon do to anyone who dares to question, for example, the climate engineering atrocities? Consider this next headline. This next story is extremely important. It is also from the Washington Post and other sources. Not that we respect the Washington Post, but I'm simply stating this is what they do to anyone who dares to speak about climate engineering. Here's the headline. DC lawmaker who said Rothschilds control the climate also said they control the federal government. That's one headline. There's a more recent follow-up headline from the UK Independent. Washington, D.C. legislature apologizes for posting video blaming recent snowfall on Rothschilds controlling the climate. The power structure-controlled media completely went after Councilman Trayon White, while also doing their best to distract attention from the primary issue White was speaking of, climate engineering. No one is allowed to speak about climate engineering. We know that. And the power structure aggressively attacks anyone who dares to do so. Those in power absolutely know they cannot afford to have the population awakened to the fact that they are all a part of a grand and lethal experiment, ongoing experiment, that is contaminating the entire biosphere, tearing apart the Earth's protective layers of atmosphere. They cannot afford the population to wake up to the climate engineering slash weather warfare slash biological warfare assault. So, this DC councilman has shown the courage to speak out about the ongoing covert climate engineering crimes. Let's show him our support. His name is, again, Trayon White. His contacts can easily be found online. Let's show him he is not standing alone. I have already contacted his office, already spoken to a representative. I am mailing materials to that office. I've already emailed more information that they will find useful, I'm sure. And let's, again, show him our support. Email, phone, let him know he's not standing alone. Consider this headline from the Swiss Medical Weekly. Knocking at the door of the unborn child, engineered nanoparticulates at the human placenta barrier. Again, nanoparticulates of highly toxic heavy metals and chemicals, primary elements in climate engineering patents which we are all inhaling with every breath. From this report, exposure of pregnant women and their unborn children to engineered nanoparticulates, called NPs, is not yet of major public concern. Let's stop there. Why is it not of public concern? Because the public doesn't know about it. That's why. Let's fill in the blanks in this report. However, this may soon change in light of the ever-increasing production of NP, nanoparticulates. Studies have indicated that the placenta door is much more vulnerable to many chemical substances and environmental pollutants than was previously anticipated. Is this any surprise? The bottom line, that the situation is far, far worse than we were told. That's the case across the board on countless subjects. Far worse than we've been told. Let's look at this report from EcoWatch.com. Let's add this to the equation. Here's the headline. Climate change harms human health. Again, with all the geopolitical maneuvering going on, which is directly connected to biosphere collapse, I avoid all the theater, meaningless stories that mainstream media is doing their best to occupy populations with. That would be to miss the point. That would be to arrange deck chairs on the Titanic instead of trying to plug the leak in the bottom of the ship, trying to salvage something. I will focus on what matters most in regard to our chance of survival on this planet. Let me continue from this report. Climate change harms human health. Bear with me. Climate change is already making people sick. This report, of course, does not mention climate engineering and the toxic particles and chemicals I just made mention of. Climate change is already making people sicker, according to a deep dive written by Rini Cho for Columbia University Earth's Institute on Monday. We should contact her and tell her to tell the full truth. Climate engineering needs to be added to this equation. Cho pointed to the example of doctors in Florida who are noticing that their patients run through prescriptions faster as conditions like asthma worsen due to heat waves. How about asthma from air filled with highly inflammatory, highly toxic particulates? Again, not mentioned. The report continues. Indeed, Florida doctors have observed enough instances of climate-related health issues that they've banded together to form the Florida Clinicians for Climate Action. We should also contact them and insist they address geoengineering. The Miami Herald reported this on Friday. Being in Florida, quote, especially you can't realize what's happening to our climate. I see it right now on a day-to-day basis, Dr. Cheryl Holder, president of Florida State Medical Association, told the Herald. Florida doctors have also noticed that heat waves coincide with more hospital visits due to heart failure. Listen, remember that, heart failure, when I get to my next headline. Florida Institute for Health Innovation head Roderick King told the Herald he hopes to fund a study to investigate the link. The climate engineering elephant in the room, again, going completely unacknowledged. Why? Because if you speak about that issue, just like Trayon White, you will be crucified by every means and form of power structure controlled media propaganda machines of mass distraction. You'll be crucified. So the geoengineering elephant in the room and the havoc it is wreaking on human health, the biosphere, the web of life goes completely ignored. So back to these physicians who want to investigate the heart failure link, let's consider now this headline from NCBI Public Med Life Sciences Journal. Here's the headline of the report. Lethal heart failure caused by aluminum poisoning. Let's stop there for a moment to recap. We have an atmosphere that is being completely saturated with toxic heavy metal and chemical particulates, starting with aluminum, barium, manganese, strontium, and others. We know now every disease we would expect to see from this saturation and the exposure to the human population is happening, including heart failure. And we have how many so-called experts ignoring or pretending that climate engineering isn't happening and this contamination isn't there. Why? Because they know to do so would be career suicide or much worse. But I would ask those people who are biting their lip this. How much will your career matter on a planet that no longer supports life and a population that is irreparably poisoned and dying? Will your career matter at that point? The answer is no, it will not matter. I'm asking those experts in the field to show some courage and find a way to reach out. Send us information through even the U.S. Postal Service that I will forward to our attorneys. Help us to sound the alarm while we still have any semblance of our health left or in any functioning aspect of our life support systems left. Then there's this new report from Rolling Stone regarding some of the increasingly insane activities of the human race. Quote, harms of fracking. New report details increased risks of asthma, burst effects, and cancer. And yet again, in this report from Rolling Stone, the climate engineering atmospheric toxic particulate assault is ignored, completely ignored. To recap, how many stop to consider that we now see Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's commercials constantly on TV? The effort to condition populations to believe such diseases are something we should just expect as we get older. Every time we take a breath, consider that we are inhaling the fallout from climate engineering operations. Lab tests prove this. This is not speculation. The exact elements that are known to cause an endless list of human diseases, including the three I just mentioned, Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's. And let's not forget the bee die-off. No bees, no people. Very simple. No pollinators, no people. Search bees/aluminum and you'll find peer-reviewed study to prove massive aluminum exposure is also killing these essential insects. The studies actually state the bees are dying of symptoms resembling Alzheimer's due to massive aluminum exposure. Please, don't believe me. That's good. Investigate for yourself. That's all I've ever asked. Back to the headlines that illustrate the insane behavior of our species, at least a large part of our species. Here's the report. The most authoritative study of its kind reveals how fracking is contaminating the air and water and imperiling the health of millions of Americans. Again, climate engineering ignored, but nevertheless, fracking in and of itself, a glaring red flag of insane human behavior. From this report, our examination uncovered, listen very carefully to the verbiage in this, our examination uncovered no evidence that fracking can be practiced in a manner that does not threaten human health. Consider the way that was written. There is nothing to support a notion that fracking can be done in a safe manner, cannot be done in a safe manner. The report states, a blistering 266-page report released last week by concerned health professionals of New York and the Nobel Prize-winning group Physicians for Social Responsibility, drawing on news, investigations, government assessments, and more than 1,200 peer-reviewed research articles, the study finds that fracking, shooting chemical-laden fluid into deep layers to release oil and gas, is poisoning the air, contaminating the water, and imperiling the health of Americans across the country. Why is this a surprise? It shouldn't be. For those who wave their flags and think fracking is such a wonderful thing, we're literally shooting ourselves in the head as a species. Final statement from this report. Fracking is the worst thing I've ever seen, says Dr. Sandra Steingraber, one of the report's 8 co-authors, a biologist. Well, Sandra, I'm glad you're focusing on fracking, and I agree, it's horrific. But take a look up. Take a look into the sky as well. Let's add this new headline from the Miami New Times. Florida legislatures, this is more along, still along the lines of insane human behaviors, with climate engineering being at the top of the list. But here's another. Florida legislators okay plan to dump sewage into drinking water aquifers. Miamians get nearly all of their drinking water from the Biscayne Aquifer, a clean source, or formerly clean, of natural H2O that stretches underground from the southern tip of the state of Palm to the state to north to Palm Beach. This being Florida, developers, utility companies, and scammers of all stripes are constantly devising new and ingenious ways to contaminate the aquifer. The water system already faces serious threats from sea level rise and salt water leaking from Florida Power and Light's Turkey Point nuclear generating station. Now the state's legislature has decided to allow companies to dump, quote, treated sewage into drinking water sources. Think about that. Think about all this that I'm covering. Does this sound like the behavior of a species that intends to survive very long on this formerly thriving planet that's now dying by the day? No. This is the behavior of a species that seems unconcerned with its own survival and only distracted with the latest shiny object they've been given by the power structure. This false headline, this next headline, is from ZeroHedge.com and other sources. Now consider everything that I just went over before reading this headline. Water wars loom. UN warns 5 billion people will face civilizational threat by 2050. From this report, more than 5 billion people could suffer. There's that word that I highlight every week. Could, may, might. 5 billion people could suffer water shortages by 2050 due to climate change, increased demand, and polluted supplies, according to a new UN report on the state of the world's water. False headline. There's no could, may, might about it, and it's certainly not by 2050. It's happening right now, and nothing like this will happen by 2050 on the current course because we won't be here. We will likely have been gone for perhaps nearly 3 decades already, all of us, on the current course. So you must look past these headlines of pacification from the power structure because, unfortunately, for most individuals, if they think something is several decades away, they could care less about it. That's a total lack of responsibility, a total lack of understanding that we are a part of a whole. And if we don't start behaving like a part of a whole immediately, we will not be here much longer. Now, this headline of complete disinformation from the UK Independent along the same lines, climate change could force more than 140 million people from their homes by, again, 2050, a major new report finds. From that report, experts warn of a, quote, looming human crisis as millions are driven to migrate within national borders due to water scarcity, sea level rise, and storm surges. This is right now. It's not 2050, and it's not 140 million people. It's more than that right now. We have more than that many environmental refugees right now. Total headline of total disinformation from the cowards in academia, the cowards in the media, none of whom are willing to tell the truth. We are in far worse a situation than these headlines describe right here and right now. Let's back up and consider what's actually unfolding, as I said, right here and right now. The entire web of life is imploding. Global wildlife populations have plunged over 60% in the last 40 years, and that rate is accelerating. Global pelagic fish populations have crashed, many by over 90%. This is the food fish. Insect populations have also crashed by 80 to 90%. Tell me, can any truly sane, rational individual actually believe that somehow, with every other form of life on the planet crashing, that the human race will magically survive? No. Plainly, clearly, inarguably, that will not be the case or the conclusion. On the current trajectory, this story, the story of the human race, of the Anthropocene era, the era of man, will end very poorly and very soon if we remain on the current course. Here's a weather update. Almost never is there 100% chance of rain in the forecast anymore. It's maybe at best 90%. Almost never 100%. And even when they say 100%, often it doesn't happen. Such has been the case in Northern California in recent days. Because the so-called meteorologists, the so-called experts, are simply reading scripts given to them by the weather makers and their very chaotic form of weather whack-a-mole that they create from climate engineering. Disorganized zonal flows of moisture are pumped into the U.S. West, or have been, and then heavily aerosolized by geoengineering jet aircraft spray dispersions. For many people, if they don't see the horizon-to-horizon trails, they think nothing's going on. Could not be further from the truth. When you have a blanket canopy over you, there is usually more activity than ever above that canopy. Keep that in mind. So the incoming moisture, the flows of moisture that are dispersed with the, again, aerosolization, the saturation of these electrically conductive particulates, which I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, they're then dispersed with extensive and growing network of radio frequency microwave transmission sources. Again, what I talked about in the beginning of this broadcast. The result, massive expanses of largely rainless overcast cloud cover. Welcome to solar radiation management. In the meantime, mainstream media climate engineering cover-up sources like the Weather Channel tell us about all the record rains in California. With the exception of a few isolated regions, the sensationalized extreme rain stories are simply a lie. Featureless white skies are increasingly the norm. The climate engineers also continue their parade of engineered winter weather events via patented chemical ice nucleation processes. This is creating winter weather whiplash. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, engineering winter. Please investigate that subject at geoengineeringwatch.org. On the subject of scheduled winter weather, this new report is from the UK Daily Mail and other sources. Here's the report. The Easter beasts. Two more cold snaps are on their way with more snow and -9 wind chills for the holiday weekend. They state thing in a wind chill because if they stated the actual temperature, it doesn't sound that bad. But if they just show the very low number and add wind chill, people only remember the number, so they think that is really colder than it really was. Forecast models predicting two cold fronts headed for Britain over the next month, including Easter weekend. Cold air from Siberia will sweep over over in time for Easter, with snow predicted and lows of 9 degrees C with wind chill. This comes after parts of the country still recovering from the mini-beast from the east, which hit on Sunday. Winter weather warfare. And consider this, the so-called forecasters, these script readers, often can't predict what's going on while it's actually going on. How can they predict weeks in advance? Because they're reading a script. That's the scheduled weather from the climate engineers. That's how bad it is. We look at satellite imagery every day. I look at that every day. And my thanks to those who help supply that imagery to me. We can't find anything anywhere on the globe that even resembles a naturally formed weather system. Nothing. Anywhere. We are completely in uncharted territory. And for those that doubt that, you'll soon find out just how bad it is, because there'll be no hiding this for much longer. The human race, especially in first world nations, taken as a whole, with few exceptions, as I stated, is behaving like a completely self-destructive, malignant cancer. That's simply the fact of the matter. The planet is dying by the day. The biosphere is imploding by the day. People are waving their flags, working their cell phones, watching football games, and pretending nothing is wrong. This is an unimaginable reality. For those who see it clearly, it's unimaginable. Again, like Groundhog Day in the asylum, every day you wake up. There's this final new footnote report from numerous sources along the same lines of shooting ourselves in the head. Roundup, herbicide linked to 70,000 cases of cancer annually. 70,000. And that's only the cases they manage to actually link directly to the product. Roundup is designed to kill life. How can anyone think it could possibly be safe? From this report, health organization WHO, in conjunction with the National Institute of Health, NHI, and the International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC, have concluded that Roundup is probably carcinogenic to humans. Where does this come from? Probably. We already know what it's doing to humans. The report states so. And they have to end with something to set people back at ease, right? Just like Mr. Bush Jr. said after 9/11, just go shopping. Just go back to shopping. There's this headline from the UK Guardian. And for the record, though the Guardian is also part of the mainstream media, at least they're covering some dire issues, albeit not completely truthfully. What is U.S. mainstream media covering? Trump's infidelities? That's what we see. Here's the headline. Catastrophe as France's bird population collapses due to pesticides. There we have the link with the Roundup. Now, let's remember the climate engineering insanity is not a part of the equation. The aluminum fallout, not a part of the equation. The aluminum fallout that's killing bees, it's certainly killing every other type of insect as well. No insects, no birds. Very simple to start connecting these dots. Very, very simple. 90% collapse in aquatic and terrestrial insect life in Northern California, as reported by former government scientists that we work with at geoengineeringwatch.org. 80% decline in terrestrial insects, as reported by German researchers' peer-reviewed study. Now the birds are collapsing. Is that a surprise? Should be no surprise. The entire biosphere is collapsing. Another headline. Insurers are backing fossil fuel companies and then charging you for climate change risks. Now, when we have the central bankers and people ask who's doing this and why would they do this to themselves, I hear that all the time. Because people typically start asking questions before they do any research on their own, and I hope that changes. Do some research. Watch some of the presentations on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, because I'm sorry, I don't have time. I wish I did. I truly do. But I simply don't have time to stop and answer questions that we've already provided the site in order to answer those questions, and we're trying to improve that all the time. We'll have a Q&A page up soon with very short 3-minute answers to the most commonly asked questions in video form. Very short and easy to examine. We're working on trying to make the answers easy to acquire, but they're there on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. But back to this headline, insurers backing fossil fuel companies and then charging you for climate change risk. No climate insuring that equation, of course, which is causing unbelievable chaos around the globe and contaminating the entire planet at the same time. But the central bankers, those at the top, when people ask who's doing this, why would they do it? Those who print the money run militaries. They own militaries, thus they own countries. They are the top of the food chain, those who control the central bankers. And they can also, and do, put money into the stock market, into companies like insurance companies, to make sure that those companies don't start sounding the alarm on things like climate engineering, so that they can keep business as usual for as long as possible, so they can pacify populations until the last possible moment. So every industry, including the insurance industry, that can be propped up through backdoor central bank infusions simply remains silent while the ship goes down. And everybody who works for them remains silent because somehow they think their paychecks and pensions will save them from what's coming. Couldn't be further from the truth. We live in an illusion. This illusion was never sustainable. And we're about to find out the hard way just how true that statement is. In the meantime, those in power and the legions of order followers who work for those in power will continue to, quote, do their job. This includes the military. Unfortunately, too many of our military brothers and sisters just, quote, doing their job, serving the empire while the entire planet goes down and they and their families with it. This must change. Along the lines of lies we've been fed, let's consider this report headline from floodlist.com. World's nuclear power stations face increasing flood risks. I'm just trying to point out the degree of cover-up here. There are currently 435 operating nuclear reactors in the world, many of them potentially vulnerable, not potentially, absolutely vulnerable to flooding because of natural disasters. Climate engineering, again, not mentioned. Examples from the UK, Finland, and the US show that the extent of the danger is not always being disclosed. No, it's never being disclosed. That would be a more truthful statement. Among many revelations in the report was the fact that authorities had known for a decade or more that the failure of a dam upstream from the Oconee nuclear plant in South Carolina would cause floodwater to overwhelm its three reactors, possibly causing a catastrophic meltdown. The odds of the dam bursting are far higher than the chances of the accident that devastated Fukushima. Far greater odds of failure right here, and we're not being told. Now, I'm just pointing out that from every direction, converging cataclysms, because the lies have been so prolific and the public's willingness to accept those lies have been so epidemic that now everything is coming together at once. Converging cataclysms, if you will. And in regard to the nuclear plants, let's go back to climate engineering. That is devastating our natural protection from CMEs, coronal mass ejections, and solar flares. Now if we have a large CME, like a Carrington event, now we'll have hundreds of Fukushimas because grids will shut down, the power plants won't be able to cool themselves, and we'll have meltdowns everywhere. Game over. That's the course we're on right now. Again, so many roads lead back to climate engineering, from the contamination, the destroyed ozone layer, forest fires, for many reasons. I've documented that on geoengineeringwatch.org. The single greatest causal factor behind forest fires is not climate change. Not that climate change isn't real. It's very, very real. And there are countless human causes for climate change. Every form of human activity that alters the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering. That must be remembered. We have been extremely poor stewards of the planet, but climate engineering, single greatest source of forest burn downs. Because it's destroying the ozone layer, releasing immense UV radiation on the trees, contaminating the soils, ionizing the atmosphere, makes it more electrically conductive, i.e. more lightning, shutting off the hydrological cycle, less rain. I've documented this very well at geoengineeringwatch.org. So there are many, in fact, unfolding environmental cataclysms that the climate science community is attributing completely to climate change while omitting an even bigger factor, climate engineering. That needs to change. That betrayal from academia needs to change. And we need to hold them accountable publicly, peacefully, but publicly accountable. On that note, we'll have a YouTube video released in the coming days with the debate I did recently with Caltech Cornell University scientist Douglas McMartin. And that video will contain all the documentation discussed during that debate, so those who listen can see firsthand who was telling the truth and who wasn't. Again, trying to expose the betrayal of academia. And that debate is a very good example because Mr. McMartin has been far less than honest. And you can make up your own mind. Watch that video when we release that in a few days. Here's a new report from National Public Radio. FEMA drops climate change from its strategic plan. The Federal Emergency Management Agency and the federal government's first responder to floods, hurricanes, and other natural disasters has eliminated references to climate change from its strategic planning document for the next 4 years. Why is that significant? Because the administration and the government and other governments around the globe are doubling down on climate engineering in the delusional belief that somehow they can hide the climate disintegration from the population for just a little bit longer. So how do they hide it? They eliminate any reference to it. But make no mistake, they are doubling down on climate engineering. We know this on the record. The Trump administration supports climate engineering, as did all previous administrations, going back to 1945. Historical fact. Another headline. This is from Weather Underground. Extreme short-duration temperature changes in the U.S. How many times have I spoken about weather whiplash? How many times have I stated that there will come a point when the extremes being created and fueled by climate engineering, these extreme fluctuations, will be near impossible to hide? For those that are unfamiliar with this, search geoengineering is creating freeze-fry scenarios or geoengineering is creating weather whiplash. Many reports on geoengineeringwatch.org to highlight what is happening and why. But from this report, the U.S. winter of 2017-2018 was one of wild temperature variations, otherwise known as weather whiplash, as I stated. How are the geoengineered weather whiplash extremes impacting our food supplies? How? Now consider this report from the New York Times in regard to our food supplies. I've spoken about this over and over, now becoming hard to hide. Most of America's fruit is now imported. Think about that. Most of America's fruit is imported. And then the New York Times asks this, is that a bad thing? Certainly it is. Report states this, it's obvious to anyone who visits an American supermarket in winter of seeing displays brimming with Chilean grapes, Mexican berries, and Vietnamese dragon fruit, that the foreign farms supply much of our produce. Imports have increased steadily for decades, but the extent of change is surprising. More than half of the fresh fruit now comes from other countries. Those who listen to this broadcast know I've stated over and over again, there is a great effort by the power structure at this point to keep U.S. store shelves stocked, importing foods from countries that are literally starving to death themselves, to keep our shelves stocked. Why? To keep the population pacified until the last possible moment, until total collapse occurs. And it's coming. It's already unraveling. It's already unfolding right now. We need a population that is willing to accept that they are a part of a whole, and doing nothing is not an option. That's a coward's way out, to do nothing. And I've heard so many people say, I can't affect the equation, so I'm going to choose to do nothing. They've bought the lie that they are helpless, and they are not helpless. If we all stood up together, if we all did some research and supplied ourselves with credible data to pass on to others, we could bring very critical issues to light, starting with the climate engineering issue, single most important issue for us to expose, because that is the means by which those in power can level the playing field anytime they choose, and they're doing it right now, bit by bit. They're doing it. Destroying crops with weather whiplash scenarios, toxic rain, fires, and I'm not blaming all of this on climate engineering, absolutely not, but if climate engineering is mathematically the single greatest disrupting factor and it's being completely omitted by mainstream media and academia, is that not a crime of cover-up? An absolute crime of cover-up. And how can we legitimately address any other form of climate disintegration when we're omitting the single greatest mathematical form of climate destruction? That's not legitimate. We must address climate engineering. We must hold academia and the media accountable for omitting the climate engineering atrocities. We must show support to people like Trayon White that I outlined in the beginning of this program for speaking out. Show support. Encourage others to speak out. And again, we're mailing materials to this individual, but it's up to all of us to help supply materials to those who need those materials to help credibly, keyword, sound the alarm. Moving on, I have more headlines to cover. I'm rapidly running out of time. Let's get on to some more of the insanity that academia is feeding us. Here's the headline from UK Guardian and other sources. This headline, by the way, shows the desperation and increasingly irrational behavior of the science community. Billion-dollar polar engineering needed to slow melting glaciers. From that report, scientists have outlined plans to build a series of mammoth engineering projects in Greenland and Antarctica to help slow down the disintegration of the planet's main glaciers. The controversial proposals include underwater walls, artificial islands, and huge pumping stations that would channel cold water into the bases of glaciers to stop them from melting and sliding into the sea. Think of the insanity of this. This is complete sci-fi nonsense. Impossible. Absolutely impossible, but the delusional mentality fed to the public and propagated by academicians who are part of the delusion themselves to make the public believe that we will somehow magically tech our way out of what's going on, all the while ignoring the climate engineering elephant in the sky spraying toxic light-scattering geoengineering particles in a desperate, destructive, and completely toxic attempt to mask the severity of global meltdown. And yet we have proposals like this from the science community, just like the 10 million wind-powered water pumps that were proposed for the Arctic to pump cool water from the bottom to the surface, which would further thaw the methane on the seafloor, which would kill us all in very short order. Insane, utterly impossible proposals to try to pacify the population that somehow technology will fix us. Not reality. Not reality. Another headline, this one from UPI.com and other sources. Fast-draining lakes threaten vulnerable Greenland ice sheet. What's important about this is to remember is the feedback loop aspect. Once you start the dominoes falling, they fall exponentially faster. From this report, in one case we found all but 59 observed lakes. These are lakes on the surface ice of Greenland, in some places 2 miles thick. Lakes formed from the melting ice on the surface. That's what they're speaking about here. So we found all but one of 59 observed lakes drained in a single cascading event. Most of the melt lakes drained in this dynamic way. That means feedback loop. The ice is becoming very perforated like Swiss cheese. The water rapidly melts, flows through the ice, lubricates the ice on the bedrock below, makes the glacier slide faster. Feedback loops, exponentially increasing the rate at which the planetary climate system and biosphere are imploding. Perhaps 50 feedback loops in place right now. I don't have time to go into that now. But the bottom line is this. The equation we face is as non-linear as it could possibly be. Consider this headline from fishwatch.gov. Today, NOAA Fisheries estimates that the United States imports more than 80% of the seafood we eat, just like the other food. As I mentioned, importing food from other countries that are starving to death themselves to keep our shelves stocked, to keep the population pacified until the last possible moments. How are the oceans doing? In addition to mass levels of pollution, oil spills, and radioactive waste, there's this often overlooked but incredibly dire factor, which I've reported on multiple times at Geoengineering Watch. Consider this headline from climatenewsnetwork.net. Ocean oxygen decline greater than predicted, as I've stated, with so many factors, much worse than previously predicted. They can't hide it, or they wouldn't be telling us now. That's from Climate News Network again. Here's another headline. I'm just going to cover a few headlines to show how many people are covering this. Ocean's oxygen starts running low, Scientific American. Another headline. This is all last week. World's oceans experiencing significant decline in dissolved oxygen. That's from Clean Technica. Another headline. Looming oxygen crisis and its impact on world's oceans, Yale 360. And there are more headlines. Oceans are deoxygenating, becoming lifeless very, very quickly. Summary reminder, if the oceans die, we die. If the forests die, we die. If the insects die, we die. If the atmosphere ceases to function, we die. Back to what I stated at the beginning of this program, what is the power structure doing while the planet is imploding? Consider this headline, Trump showcases weapons sold to Yemen bombing Saudi prince. This is what the military-industrial complex does to sustain itself. It doesn't care about, like a cancer that's killing its host, it doesn't care about the consequences of its actions. It only focuses on its own proliferation. U.S. President Donald Trump brought several pictures of American weapons to a meeting with visiting Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia. He boasted of the multi-billion-dollar sales of arms to the kingdom, billing and selling weapons while the planet implodes. Another headline, U.S. deploys naval strike groups for attacks on Syria. Trains militants for false flag chemical attacks. That's what's happening. The American public needs to wake up and not buy the nonsense they're being fed that the Syrian government and the Russians are spreading chemical warfare. This is our government or Western power structures doing this to provide a premise to invade those countries. Why are they invading? Consider this headline, as I've stated over and over. U.S. bases on Syrian oil fields receive new equipment. U.S. is moving in bases onto Syria because they're there for the resources. Over and over, I've stated this, historical documentation proves this conclusively. This is about resources. Back to 9/11. Back to what Wesley Clark stated. The countries he stated would be invaded after 9/11. It was all part of the grand plan. The military knew it would need resources on an ongoing basis. It was part of the grand chess game. Invade, destabilize these countries, set up military bases, and take over their resources. And that's why Russia is in the crosshairs right now. Resources. Russia has the most natural resources left on the planet. Another headline along these lines. Iraqi lawmaker warns of plots to expand U.S. military bases in Iraq. Is it any surprise whatsoever? None of these countries ever recover from the U.S. interventions to spread democracy. They don't recover. It's not about democracy. It's not about freedom. It's about empire. It's about power and control. That's all it's ever been about. Climate engineering the same. For those in academia who want to convince themselves that climate engineering is some miraculous planet-saving technology that we can now implement, wake up from your delusion. The climate engineering card was played 70 years ago, and it has done nothing but push us all toward certain near-term planetary omnicide if we continue. The military-industrial juggernaut of insanity must be exposed for what it is. The days of reckoning for the human race draw near. The primitive survival instinct, unfortunately, still dictates the behavior of the majority. The majority desperately cling to the herd, to the groupthink denial of reality. This is the course we are currently on. If it's not completely altered, we have no chance. Each and every one of us must ask ourselves, who we want to see when we look in the mirror. Someone who took the path of least resistance and did nothing to sound the alarm while it could have still made a difference? Or do we want to see someone who stood up and did their best to fight for the greater good? When we look in the mirror, do we want to see someone who did their best to fight for the future of our children and the entire web of life? Again, who do you want to see when you look in the mirror? If we don't collectively stand against the tide of insanity now, we will not have tomorrow. That's not my opinion. It's a mathematical, statistical fact. If you want to know what you can do to help, check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Make your voice heard while it can still make a difference. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.